I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Season
10, episode 1. I've decided the last season has finished, so let's start a new season, even though it's the summer. We got up to like episode 54, so let's start. It's a new season, season 10, our 10th year of recording More Than Just a Podcast. Obviously, as you heard last week, John and George don't do closed season. Although they encouraged us to have a break, you knew we'd be back, and we are. With us tonight, coming back like a bad penny, is Nigel. Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Do I still have... Oh, yeah, I do. Shed man. Gave you a little bit more of a run out today. New season. And in hot from the substitutes bench is your friend and our friend, extreme portrait maker, Canning Town Len.
Good evening.
I wish I had some kind of jingle for you. I don't get that.
That's you, Aldi.
You dirty old man, you.
All right, got you. Oh, anyway.
I haven't got it.
Len.
I don't understand Len. It. Hello.
You've been busy with your portraits, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've done some cracking ones this weekend. Your friend and my friend, David Hortzig and his family. And one for an ex-footballer, ex-Western footballer, but I can't divulge that yet. But it's a lovely, ooh, nice retro one.
A West Ham footballer?
It's his birthday coming up. But it's a... Yeah, yeah. And it's his birthday coming up, and we've had like a retro set one. So his kid sort of set in 1980, and his kids are of the age of 1980. It's lovely. It's one of my favourites so far. But this isn't the portrait podcast.
Because you did one for David Cross as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That's another family portrait, yeah.
With his family.
Sorry, mate, you cut out, would you say?
With his family.
I think he said with his family.
With his family, yeah. Yes. Family portraits are usually with a family, Sean.
Yeah, well done, well done.
Good,
well
done. Did I cut out a little bit?
Yeah,
no, but Sean, don't worry.
Oh, is it me cutting out tonight?
It's you cutting out, yeah.
That's pretty usual. Anyway, how many portraits? I know you're going to piss off, stop being so nosy. How many portraits you done now?
You've gone full on Norman Collier now, Sean. It just Danny Rowe. Can you hear him, Nige?
I'll get him the same as you, mate. You can tell me to piss off, he said. That's the bit I did. And I was just waiting for you to go.
Just tell him to piss off.
Just tell him to piss off. You know? You nosy bastard. Sorry, people.
I imagine he's saying, how many have I done now? If he said, if you can tell me to piss off. If he's still there. I don't know the answer. About 300, I think, now.
Wow.
Actually, funny enough, I got the file out today. I'm about to. And if you've got a portrait and you're a More Than Jesus podcast listener, I'm going to do the new crowd celebrations for the new film. It's going to be like standardized across. And I got that out and I looked at it again. And well, you can see how many people I've done portraits for because of the big cast portraits.
It's getting bigger and bigger. It's like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club band cover now.
I think there's more people in mine now. But I looked at that about an hour ago. I thought, God, this is a lot of work to do. But I'm looking forward to doing it too. So,
actually, the album cover could be Canning Town Lens Sad and Lonely People's Arts Band, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we're all West End bands, so we're all quite sort of sad, aren't we?
Really? I don't know. I think we're quite chipper.
Well, I'm miserable. So
Apparently. That's why I drew you that way.
Yeah. I'm not sure you are miserable. You just look miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, in the latest drawing of you, he sort of done you. It's sort of like you could put you up and Declan Rice up, a picture of Declan Rice, Declan Throne, and go, look, Deck, if you live your life bad, this is what you're going to look like. Because you sort of look like a sort of Declan Rice in his 50s, bit of weight. You know, it's gone to the thing, and what is going to be like? I don't know if you've noticed that, Jay. But
The the pool. I don't think I said it last week, but the missus did like your redraw of me, slightly slimmer.
In the GSB out t-shirt, you mean?
In the GSB out t-shirt.
Yeah,
she won't know what that means.
Compromise. Of course, you're going to put that weight all back on again, aren't you? By being
normal. I'm sure I will. I'll say something wrong, and then that weight.
Yeah.
Come back
and your
on.
Chin will I'll be say on the ground.
I'll say something to upset Len, and Len will go, oh, that's another £5.
Yeah, that's how it's done. Happens
anyway,
very quickly.
Obviously, no football discussed today, so let's talk about transfers. Let's make this the summer transfer special. We should have a jingle done for that.
Well, look, we're going to be doing this every week. It ain't going to be special, is it? Just right, run through this week's crap and we can go there and go, well, that ain't happening, that ain't happening, because I ain't got no money. So
today there was a board meeting. So this is the monthly board meeting. So they had their board meeting, right? And my senior source says, there was an open agenda, but they were talking, look, they don't know what's going to happen. They lost £10 million in credits and refunds on tickets last season. We got around about 111, 112 million in Sky Money last season. No rebates were due last season. But next season, all Premier League clubs are going to have to pay about £330 million back to Sky and BT over 2 years. So that will be split over two
that's
years.
That's 7 million a year then.
It is, yeah. So that's fair. The big dilemma, especially with the news from the government, you know, are we going to face another lockdown? Are we going to face more restrictions? Is they can't count on any of the money for the tickets at the moment. They just don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to have any supporters back in October? Are the government going to do a U-turn? We're going to have no ticket money. We're going to carry on like we did before with everything. And the answer is everybody's in the same boat, but no one really knows. And it's so hard to budget. The directors, the shareholders put in 30 million quid. But that's certainly not going to go on transfers. The chances of the shareholders putting more money in is limited, is my understanding. Although I was told, you know, that if you look back at history, the two particular owners have always put their hand in the pocket when needed. We'll see.
Who's he talking about?
I don't know.
It's a West Ham podcast, right? West Ham podcast, I'm on.
I'm just repeating.
Me and Len do the retro podcast, Sean. I didn't know that.
Anyway, I don't know. I haven't spoken to anyone after the board meeting, but you know, suddenly I know people have been pointing out with, you know, my zero budget story. And it is a zero budget if it's a buy, you know, sell to buy policy, which I understand it is. You know, they're not going to find 100 million back at the on the back of the sofa. Who was it I heard? Is it Sheffield United are going to have got a £100 million budget?
Aston Villa.
Was it Aston Villa? I don't think that's going to be the norm.
Apparently, yeah.
I don't know if that's true. We shall see. They spent over 100 million last year and they nearly got relegated if it weren't for West Ham.
Yes, but what you could... Well, no, it weren't for West Ham. It was thanks to goal line technology not working. Because actually, they would have been relegated. But if you think that 100 million quid, actually, if you're a brand new Premier League team, 100 million quid, you know, barely keeps you in the league because people have been spending that for years. If you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't walk into this league. Look what happened to Norwich. They've walked into this league with a championship team. So the team, they were a great championship team. Didn't really add to it, did they? And what they've proved is that was a great team in a championship. Villa spent money and managed to hang in by their fingertips. So,
yeah,
obviously, true. Sheffield United bucks the trend. Let's see if they can continue to do it. Because it could be, you know, Sheffield United, there's lots of clubs that have done that. Swansea's, Hull's even, have come up, done well, then not nosedived back to whence they came.
Okay. So let's talk about transfers. Possible outban. We said sell to buy. All the players are on holiday for 3 weeks, as you probably know. They have to report back on Monday the 16th of August. 3.5 weeks until the start of the season on the 12th of September. But they're contractually obliged to the holiday. And the first story comes from an interesting one. Football Insider ran a story yesterday saying that Philippe Anderson was trying to engineer, his representatives were out. He was out in Rome trying to engineer his way back into Lazio. Now, the basis of this story, when I read it, I thought, that doesn't sound right. So I, as I usually do, I try and check out these stories, and I looked at his Instagram, and lo and behold, there's a picture of him in a restaurant with the Rome Colosseum behind him. So they've taken a picture on his holidays with... He's in Rome on holiday, and you can clearly see he's on holiday, and made it into he's trying to get back into Lazio. My senior source says, no, he's on holiday as far as we're aware. We've had no approaches. We're not aware that he wants to go to Lazio, and you know, Lazio would ask for permission to talk to him anyway. So I'm afraid Anderson's just on holiday in Rome. No sell yet, but obviously we would. Italy does seem probably the ideal place for him. Would you agree, chaps?
Well, is the football,
do you see him going to any
there?
Other league? Sorry, ooh. Sorry, Len.
Is the football still slow there? Then, is that what you're trying to say?
I'm just saying it's not as fast as the Premier League.
Yeah, you said I was right then. Yeah,
Brazil.
Yeah, why don't you go about and put some money there? Is there?
Spain,
Scotland,
Betis, perhaps.
Yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. Who's going to afford his wages though? He's on over 100 grand a week wages. And we're going to want some of that 34 million quid we paid for him back. Who can afford him? And that's the problem.
Villa.
That's the problem with that's the problem with the second story, which is Manuel Lanzini. I can't work where, I don't know if he's in Disneyland, but his pictures on his Instagram show Disneyland, etc., and him by a pool with some Malaga player. I forget his name. Rumours that he's in Turkey. Funny enough, that he could be Turkey bound. Now I don't know if you remember, but before he signed for West Ham, he was he was linked with Galatasaray and what's the other one where Bilic came from?
Besiktas.
He was linked with them. But this time he's linked with Fenerbahce. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, well done, Sean.
It's a first. But again, the only thing I would say is, as you know, we bought him for 10.5 million or 10.8 million. I guess we'd accept a similar fee right now. But he's on 100 grand a week wages again. When he got his new deal after his injury, he joined us on sort of 35. Now he's on 100. The Turkish league cannot pay that kind of money. And that's the problem with the Premier League. Once you're on six-figure wages a week, and a lot of players are, not just at West Ham, but everywhere, it's hard to ship them out to other leagues. Moving on, Ejeti. Ejeti, we've had one deal, one bid in, and it's not from Slaven Bilic. It's not from West Brom. It's not from Rangers. It's not from anywhere else. It's from Celtic. And the deal is quite simply, it was a loan with an offer to buy. The loan with a very short option, I think it was as short as five appearances, with an obligation to buy for 4.5 million. He said he wants to think about it. He's returned to Switzerland. It doesn't sound like he wants to go. He's got no future at West Ham. Nigel, what do you think? Should Ejeti take the deal that's on the table to him? Should he hold out? Should he fight for his position? Or just sit on the bench and earn his money, not being played?
Well, look, put yourself in Ejeti's shoes, yeah?
Yeah.
Celtic, probably lesser club. He's probably going to have to take a hit on money.
Champions League.
Yeah, for the first month. For the first month, yeah? And
still
then
Champions League.
Well, whatever, but, does it appeal to him? Probably not. But then he's at a London club. He might prefer London life to Glasgow. And, at the end of the day, we've gave him a contract. At the end of the day, we've gave him a contract. And unless he's going to, he's got every right, in theory, to go, well, actually, the offer there is not good enough. You know, if you're working for a company, if you're working for Reading, you know, let's pick this fictitious company called Reed Employment. Say you're going to work for Reed Employment, but then, you know, another employment agency, Reed have had enough of you, but you're on a contract. Another employment agency wants to employ you, but they're not going to pay you what Reed are paying. What are you going to do? You're going to sit it out? Now, some people will. Me, I've walked out on people that have paid me far more money and gone to people paid me less because I'd be happier working with the people paying me less. So, but if he's at a state of mind where he thinks, I may be, where he comes from, Switzerland, he's sort of Albanian Swiss, you know, the money he could earn in his West Ham contract may pay for him to live a really great lifestyle for a long, long time. Give him his pension. Yeah. So I ain't going to criticise the bloke.
Len?
Yes, mate?
Still very quiet, you know. Maybe you're just a very quiet person.
No.
What is it, Ejeti? Do you think football should become before wages, or do you agree with Nigel?
It should do. I mean, it's a short career, isn't it? Silly. I mean, he's always going to be a rich guy, I imagine, now he's been a footballer. I'd move somewhere else if he's not going to play. But, you know, he's the modern footballer.
Yeah.
It sounds depressing, to be honest, what you said about the people we want to get rid of. It sounds like no one really wants them, which you can't blame them. And two, we're going to lose a lot of money on them. That's going to burn us when we're going to buy someone else.
Well, funny you should say that. Great link, because we're not just talking about we're trying to pump out Anderson and Lanzini. Those two are very well known about. And I think, you know, if other offers came in for Wilshere or would snap their arm off. And even maybe Yarmolenko. That would be sad for me because I really like Yarmolenko. But I think, you know, we would probably take an offer for Yarmolenko if we could get our money back. But here's the interesting thing. And this, in the last week, I've learned it won't come as a surprise that David Moyes wants to prioritise defensive positions. We're bringing two or three new faces in addition to Souček, who's already joined. So we're counting that as the first one, obviously. You know, so a centre back and probably a right back and a left back would be the priorities. What I'm told is if the right price comes in and the right valuation, Cresswell, Fredericks, Wawana or Brelbaina, Reed and Masuaku can all go and Moyes wouldn't stand in their way if offers came in that matched the club's valuation.
Can't see them all going. When you say
I'm not saying they're all going.
It's the way you went. They can all go.
They can all go if you're not. Well, yeah, you're not going to let them all go.
Are they willing to let go?
Well, I suppose if you could get replacements in for a similar value. So I would imagine Moyes has got a list of centre backs and full backs, and he's going, well, look, if this one goes, I can get this in. If that one goes, I can get that in. I mean, I assume that's how he's doing it. But you know. You're absolutely right to say, you know, all five of them wouldn't go. But then again, it's unrealistic to think that we're going to get five offers in. Just to be clear, by the way, we've got zero offers in beyond Celtic and straight from the senior source. I know there's been all kinds of rumours. We've had bids in for that. We have had
no inquiries. Yeah, but these rumours are started, actually, by a certain Twitter account. Keep tweeting out stories.
There's been no inquiry. We're just talking outbound at the moment, not inbound. We'll move to inbound in a minute. Outbound, we've had no inquiries, including Declan Rice, including who else? Diop, Lanzini, all of them. All of them. No bids at all, except for the one bid from Celtic. One inquiry, one bid from Celtic.
And he don't want to go.
And he don't want to go.
We're going to be stuck with the same team. If he stays the same.
But you know what? I did have a conversation with someone and said, would it be that bad if we were set, you know, if all else failed and we were stuck with the same squad? Would that be the end of the world?
No.
Nigel, voice of reason.
No, it wouldn't. No. And I'll tell you what, but I'm basing that on, if you look at the form, the last three games before lockdown, I'll forgive him the first two games back because of they'd had a long time off and the reacclimatisation back with actual playing proper football. So then if you take the last seven games, the form was and the performance levels, even something like the result, like the Burnley result, but the performance was up there. So actually, I think Moyes has got a mid-table team already.
Yeah.
So actually, if we went in, I wouldn't be sitting there going, I wouldn't do like a Lewis Aaron Trout, we're going down, you know, the world, you know, Chicken Little, the world is caving in, the roof's going to come down on us. I don't believe that. I don't think we will be in that situation, but we will just plod along Crystal Palace type level. Now, you know, that could be good enough for some people. For me, you don't want to be in a relegation dogfight. You don't, but spices the season up a bit, isn't it? As I said last week, sometimes the directors of the club used to prefer that because it brought the people in, but it don't matter at the moment. So, no, don't want to bother me.
Snodgrass being offered a one-year option, good or bad?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
But he's getting on a bit.
That's why he's getting a year.
But if as you're saying, no one's moving, wouldn't that become a little bit more an interesting position to release him wage funds, or is he not on that amount of money?
I can't remember how much he's on.
But then it's the ideal time to start looking at the 20-year-olds and the 22-year-olds at the club and start saying, well, actually, lads, this is your time now. Because he's got till October to buy. So he could start the season.
That's
true. I know it's a risk because it'll only be like two or three games. But he could say to the Coventry's, the Nathan Hollands, we know now Johnson is good enough. We've seen enough of him to know, well, you are good enough. So now...
Nathan Holland, who won Young Hammer of the Year today.
And who was a star, Oxford, loved him. Josh Cullen, the Cheltenham fans, were so disappointed he's left and say, whoever gets him is going to get a great player. He's played 60-odd times for Cheltenham in the Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
And they loved him now. So
he's getting on a bit, Josh Cullen.
Well, hold up a minute, though. We're supposed to be looking at players in the Championship. Well, actually, here's another one that we own with Deanne Garner. Yeah. So it's like, well, hold up a minute. Do we need to rush out and go mad? And this is the thing everybody keeps going. Too many people get hung up on the amount of money we spend and the amount of players we bring in without actually looking at are they adding to the quality of the team. So I don't see a problem with taking a stock. When will the January transfer window start?
January, I imagine, mate.
Well, yeah.
Stop giving secrets away, Len.
Thanks for
don't,
that.
We don't reveal how sausages are made on this show.
So is the January transfer window going to be in January? That's what I'm going to say.
Well, it's actually called the winter transfer window, to be fair. Right.
But is it? Is it going to be in January? Because
unlikely.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, because if it is, and surely you've got to go into the season, so in September we've got to know when the winter transfer window will be. If it is in January, actually, when you think about it, you could take a gamble on bringing in one or two people, even if they're just loan signings, bringing the kids in, give them a chance, let's see where we are in January, and then make the changes if possible.
Okay, all right. Last outbound story. Well, it's an ex-player. Caused a little bit of...
Is he signing players now?
No, this is someone else signing players. An old friend of yours, Scott Duxbury. This is the news, broken by Clarence Hugh over the weekend, that Jeremy Ngakia is about to sign for Watford.
By Clarence Hugh over the weekend... I think I told you last time we was
you
on
did
it.
Actually, no, let's be fair.
Coming back to you now, isn't it?
Len, he should get the credit for the exclusive because, among others, lots of people were talking about West Brom and Norwich and Spurs, and I forget who else was in the mix.
Palace.
But to be fair to Len, Len said, I heard Watford. Now, I don't know what animator friends he's got over at Watford. Is there an opposite number to you who draws?
It was someone I played golf with. I told you.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah. Bushytown Barry, he's called. Have you not seen these animations?
It was that area. It was that area where we played golf.
Oh dear.
Anyway, I've got to give you the credit. I'm giving you two big eyes. You got the Watford story right. I'm sorry, we didn't believe you until our senior source confirmed it over the weekend.
There you go. Well, you know.
We now get compensation because he's gone to a UK club. The idea is we now go to, because he's under 24, because we offered him a deal and he turned it down. He was playing us since he was 14 years old. So he was at 5 years, we trained him. We say to Watford, we go to Scott Duxbury, who's now the CEO, former West Ham CEO, as you may know, Scott Duxbury. And we say, give us a load of cash for Ngakia. And they go,
No.
We'll give you like 100 grand. And we say, nah, give us 10 million quid. And they said, nah, we'll give you half a million. And on that we'll go. And in the end, there will be a disagreement and it will go to tribunal. And the tribunal
will... Say a million half.
Well, well, sometimes, and this is funny enough, where did the last person that this happened to go to? Anyone? Answers on a postcard.
Sorry, what was you saying? I was
The last kid who went somewhere and we thrashed out.
Yeah, it was a Quinner.
It was a tall boy.
Quinner, yeah. Where'd he go?
Watford.
Oh, went to Watford.
Watford, yeah. So in the Quinner deal, we actually get a lot of money if he, you know, really makes it, you know. So the idea is if they play a certain number of first team appearances, if they go into Europe, if they get sold on, you know, you get sometimes a sell on fee, if they play for their country, etc. There all can be all kinds of deals that are in the favour of this person making it. Obviously, he's going down to, not that he knew this at the time, because none of us knew this at the time, but he's going down to the Championship. Good, bad, or bad move for him, Nigel?
Having seen him play, it depends. If Watford are going to put him in the first team, you could say it's a good move for him. Personally, I think he may have dropped a wicket, because looking at West Ham now, he would have been in our first team, even with Johnson.
Really?
I think his performance.
Put him on the right and put Johnson on the left.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, really?
That could have been a possibility. Yeah. Hmm. So actually, I think he's possibly dropped a wicket.
Glenn?
Yeah, he has. He should have stayed, but obviously, look, West Ham might mean a lot to us. It don't mean a lot to him or his agent.
And I think it's hard to criticise, you know. Who knows? Agent, whether he had a fallout, who knows? I won't badmouth him. He's made his choice. He's decided. And of course, because of that, I don't wish him well. In the same way, every hammer that leaves us, you know, I don't really want to go on to become a world beater and win stuff. You know, I'm even gutted that Adrian went on and got a Premier League medal, if I'm honest with you. Because I want loyalty. I want loyalty like, you know, Trevor Brooking. You've got to stay at West Ham. Those kind of players are gone. But we see how much compensation. We see how well. We will follow his career with a small amount of interest. So let's move from on to outbound. Inbound transfers. As you said, there's a lot of guff out there, Nigel. Some of it I report. probably the big story I can tell you is not true. John Stones from Man City for $20 million, the Sun wrote over the weekend. Look, the guy's on a six-figure wage a week, I've been told. No interest. We couldn't afford his wages anyway. So that's a non-starter. What they do seem to like is, of course, John Stones played at Everton, and they love a link to David Moyes, which is why he's been linked with Shane Duffy today, centre back obviously for Brighton, who's 28, played as a 17-year-old. Guess who gave him his chance at Everton?
David Moyes.
There's another one, isn't there? I'm trying to think who the other one is.
I heard Leighton Baines.
Well, he's retired.
Silly. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who the other one is.
Everton player.
An ex-Everton player, recent Everton player, not a recent Everton player.
Not a recent.
I know we were linked with John Joe Kenny, who's a right back at Everton, but he didn't play under Moyes, so it will come back to me anyway. Look, there's a lot of stories
there. Was it Dave Watson?
He's not recent. Kevin Sheedy, he's not recent either, was it?
Eric Mansfield, the one with the tash, I used to like him.
A new story today from Portugal, Sporting Lisbon. Jovan Cabral, I think, is a winner we've been linked to.
Yeah.
Betis, a defender called Mandy for $9 million that Liverpool
Mandy?
Are about to sign. Yeah, Mandy.
Do you think he came and he gave without taking?
But then we sent him away.
Oh, Mandy. You held me and stopped me from shaking.
Yeah.
Matty Cash from Nottingham Forest. We were linked with him before. Is a report that someone's just turned down a bid for him. I can't remember it is. But they want $20 million for him. It's ain't going to happen. We did make inquiries last January.
You're a brave man saying that.
What's that?
It ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. No, there's certain ones I know, and there's certain ones that I will be a little bit more circumspect about.
We'll see. Nigel. We'll see.
Kyle Walker has also been linked. £80 million move. Ain't going to happen.
Kyle Walker linked to us with an £80 million move.
Yeah, 18. Yeah, 1-8.
Oh, 18. Okay.
18. Morgan Gibbs-White from Wolves is another one. Don't know a lot about him, really. Martin Braithwaite from Barcelona. That sounds recycled again. Callum Wilson from Bournemouth. The only one that sort of rings a truth about that, I don't see him coming. If a little bit of news is we've been told inside sources is Allaire will not be sold this summer. We're going to let him have another season and see how he performs.
Good move.
Callum Wilson, agent, is obviously Will Salthouse.
Oh, there you go, then.
And another person from Bournemouth, also Will Salthouse, this is David Brooks from Bournemouth. So Bournemouth will probably have to sell quite a few dropping down the championships. I think they've got an £80 million loss they've got to fill straight away. What was your view of Eddie Howe leaving, chaps? Would you still like him at West Ham in the future, Nigel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Len? Necessarily, though, to replace... Well, not. I'm not saying I think we should get rid of David Moyes and go and get Eddie Howe, but I think at some point in Eddie Howe's future, he will manage West Ham.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh, brave move. Brave call. Gonzalo Montiel from River Plate, that right back, a news report saying €10 million.
Keep watching Stell and Orange United. He's dragged that up 8 times.
Was rejected. I've been told, absolutely denied, we did not make an offer. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Vladimir...
Because he's a foreigner.
Kufau from Slava Prague, who's a right back. Obviously a teammate of Suchek, also in another report. I'm just seeing now, Marlen Saar, free agent, also been linked. Anyone else? Josh Magar, a Bordeaux striker. Young Rangers.
What nationality is he, Sean, without looking?
I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay, that's good. All right, carry on then.
Rangers youngster Nathan Young Coombs, 17-year-old, has also been linked to us. Some ITK in Glasgow. And that one could have a bit of truth because I could see him going into the development and a bit like Silver and others. We're counting him as a transfer in, even though he's not ready. Look, the truth of the matter is. And you'll go, well, why did you bother just reading out all these names, Sean? Is
content.
We haven't made a single bloody offer. We have not put in a single bid.
Well, we haven't sold anyone, have we?
No, we haven't put in a bid. Of course we make inquiries. Of course we scouted players. Of course we're looking at our list of who we might put bids in. But I have been told, absolutely, we have put in zero bids. So any stories at the moment, look, that could change tomorrow, right? But as we stand today, we're putting no bids. So anything that says we've made an offer, we've made a bid, it's not true. I know that's depressing, but that's the way it is. We're going, well, you've sprung out a long way to say that, Sean. You could have said it 37 minutes ago.
Would have been a short podcast then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would have been a short podcast. We are looking at loans and free agents, and I know that people won't like that. Needs must. There might be some bargains out there, either as free agents.
Have you looked at the free agent market?
I haven't looked at it myself, but I think David Moyes has got slightly more credentials than me.
I was just thinking of content for...
I have looked at that in the past.
Cabbage and Hughes.
But I don't... I'll get in trouble because I know Sam listens to it, but Sam Ingersoll is a very good friend of mine who runs the Football London site, and he ran a story going, here's the shirt numbers new signings could wear if they came in, and there was a whole story about the shirt numbers available for fictitious players when they came in. When you start running stories like that,
but this is the problem, right, with the proliferation of football news websites, in the summer. Instead of them just going, hey ho, we're gonna slacken off a bit. We'll just do a couple of stories a day just to tick over until we get into, you know, because at the end of the day, this is in the first few weeks, nothing really happens. We know the transfer market really ain't going to explode till September, actually, because they got to October. So you could park that bus instead of the constant need, yeah, and I will point the finger at you lot, keep bringing out stories just for the sake of stories.
But we report what's in the news, and there are a lot of, you know.
Yeah, but people like you and Sam Incasol and all these other crap football sites just go round and, you know, I'm not saying they make it up, because there may be an agent who wants to put a story out. He's trying to jump out. There isn't interest. He's trying to jump out interest. He's trying to perhaps keep the player signed to him.
It's the way sausages are really made. It's always been the same.
It's crap, though, Sean. And sometimes
it was in the Daily Mirror or it was on CFAX years ago. Or Team Talk.
As I've
bloody
said about West Ham, when West Ham used to turn around and say, well, this is what other clubs do.
Which was the one you used to ring up at?
But I never did that. So, you know, you can be different. Stand out from the crowd by not playing that game.
But you know what we do? We deny it. So today, we often run a report and then we put our view on the chance of it happening.
But that's worse. That's worse. You're actually running a story and for the sake of content, and you double up on it by going, actually, do you remember that story we printed 2 hours ago? Son of old bollocks.
Yeah. So you get to print two stories
for the price of one.
No,
that's
what drags you down.
Let me tell you a story.
Come on, Max, right? Tell me a story.
The story is, you're right, we write a report and we write it straight often, not knowing it, and then we ask someone, and often they take a few hours to come back, like you say, and then we write a denial 2 hours later. Which story gets the biggest amount of views?
The denial.
Nope.
Of course, the other one.
The report that clearly says it's a report and has warnings around it, because people want to hear about transfers. They don't want to hear about transfers not going to happen.
No, no, no. And this
they don't want to know denials, honestly.
This is a bubble all you websites have created. Generally, people will go through life and couldn't give a monkey's.
That's true.
We've just carried on the same thing.
It's like a pantomime season.
No,
right?
You've created the pantomime. You are Bill Ken Wright putting on the show down the Theatre Royal Stratford.
We've just taken over from CFAX and
no, you
premium
haven't.
Rate lines.
You haven't taken over from CFAX, Sean.
You and your mate peddle that crap to justify what you do. It's no That's different. It's a lot of different. I'm sorry, it is.
Well, CFAX never.
Do you know what CFAX never did? They never put a tape on giving you the news, and then the next day said what we told you yesterday was a load of crap.
That is true.
Yeah.
So we have taken it one step further and given it more of a service.
You don't. And this is the thing.
Do you know what? Set yourself up different. I'm going to defend this. In the past,
of course you are.
Papers just wrote transfer rumours and people just took it as gospel because there was no one to prove them right or wrong.
No, they didn't. They didn't believe half of them.
Let me have my thing and then you can come back, right? Players didn't have social media to argue their own cases. There weren't fan websites, etc. So someone like Back of the Sun, it will say this, da, 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 da. Right? It could be completely fabricated from management, but there was no recourse because the papers didn't allow. So you read it in the back of on the sports pages and you took it as gospel. And after time, it wasn't true, right? Now we live in a world with social media. Players can get involved. Agents can get involved. Even clubs can get involved. And there is this social media dialogue. So it is a completely different thing. And the world's moved on because people now can deny it and say, that's not true. It doesn't stop them doing it. I've called out Football Insider today for saying there's no truth in Philippe Anderson is out in Rome talking to Lazio. He's just on his holes. But that won't stop them. They'll read about it. Someone will tell them.
I don't know that, though. He might be out there talking to them.
Well, he's not.
Well, he's in Rome, you said.
We would help him. We'd have paid for his flight out there if he was talking to Lazio.
Why would he go to Italy then? Why didn't he go and see his mother
Brazil? He lived in Italy for 5 years when he played for Lazio.
He's lived in Brazil for 20.
Hypothetically speaking, Sean, for instance say a player wants to go back, but what he wants to do is he wants to go and see if they want him back first. Would he not sort of fly out there and go and have a meal?
Would it not, you know,
chances of, I've come over here for an holiday.
We would have paid his expenses. We'd have given him a first class flight over there and put him up in the hotel.
The player himself may be going out there to try and engineer in the move.
Yeah.
Yeah, off
well,
his
that's
own
the story
back.
The football insider, but I think that look, I would agree with you if it wasn't for the story came out hours after Philip Anderson himself published a picture of himself in Rome. He'd been out there for weeks or a week, and suddenly the picture comes out and he's in Rome talking. You know, I don't believe it. Anyway,
so who's in Rome then?
Anderson.
No, well, who's he going back to see then? Who's in Rome that isn't Lazio. In Brazil?
Sorry?
Who's in Rome? You say he's gone back to Rome because he used to live in Rome.
He used to live in Italy.
So why would he... Who's there in Italy that he's seeing, do you know?
Well, Lazio. Lazio based in Rome, as you probably know.
But you said he's not talking to Lazio.
Well... No, because he's not. He's going on holiday. He lived in Rome. He's got friends in Rome. He lived there for 5 years.
And he ain't gone over to Brazil to see his own mum? I like him even less now. What kind of person does that? Gets his only holidays and you don't go to see his family. I'll be glad to get rid of him, to be honest. Don't want that, someone like that playing for you.
Yeah, too right. Too right then. Right. Anyway, before we move on to question time, because we have been talking for 46 minutes about transfers that are not happening, just to be clear, as a recap, we haven't made any bids. We've received one bid for an outbound player. That was a Jetty. It was from Celtic, 4.5 million after 5 appearances, and it was rejected by the player. He couldn't agree personal terms. We've received no other bids for any of our other players. We've made no other bids for any other player. Right. I said that quite quickly. But that's the overall summary. The other two bits of news before we go to questions. The third one is the third kit's been leaked. I'd had the photo for a little while, but obviously it's now been leaked, not by me, on Instagram. What did you think of the third kit? Do you like it?
I've got my doubts about it. I'm not sure that's it.
It is it. I promise you, 100%.
Well, it's awful. I mean, it looks like it's too... It looks like a mock-up to a cut and pasted into one.
It is the true kit, I promise you.
Well, it looked it was knocked up in the back streets of Bangalore.
People don't seem to like the square collar.
They've bought it in some back street shop in Shanghai and brought it over because the cut of the cloth looked bad for a start, to be fair. The badge looked a bit funny to me.
And stitched onto that.
Yeah, it didn't look right. Some of the other pictures we've seen looked far better.
Do you know what? It doesn't make sense to me. That design of it, it's like a two-piece design. And you can make shirts like that now in one piece. That will not only sort of bring down the cost of the shirt, but it's just going to look a little bit neater. There's going to be no seam to rub against the chest. I just don't understand who come up with that idea.
Barcelona have just had a black and gold one. We're trying to follow them. They're not.
Yeah, but it was no kind of. I'll call it a yoke. It's not a yoke.
So it was created in consultation with the official supporters board.
Yeah, but they're not going to say the OSB weren't going to say, "Oh, yeah, do it in two halves."
No, of course not. No, they don't
put a collar on it.
No.
A collar would have improved that.
I mean, the black colour, I think, the black and gold they talked about, so colours rather than stitching. So for those who haven't seen
the What's the theory photo, behind the black colour, they said?
No.
All right.
It's a black body with, as some people have said, dodgy stitching. It's got a square collar. It's got faded cross black cross hammers. It's got a gold Umbro logo. It's got gold letters spelling the word out, Betway.
Well, it says out. Have they put GSB in gold as well?
No,
and it's got, I think it's got a gold badge, a gold and black badge with 125 years. I quite like it. I'm not so sure about the square collar, but apart from that, I think out of the three kits, I actually like it.
Do you know what I say to all West Ham fans?
Go on.
Save your money. They've already had the shirts made. Don't buy it. If you really like it, don't buy it. Because the more you don't buy it, the quicker the price will drop to 20 quid and then we can all jump in and buy it. Because yeah. I ain't paying, you know, I will only pay
I like the black
20
one.
Quid. The quicker people yeah. don't buy it, it will get in the sale and I'll buy it. But,
yeah. okay,
sure. you know, to hang on the hanger because I wouldn't wear
right.
it.
Last story.
Well, I've got some stories, so go on. All right.
Oh, my last story, season ticket renewal. I've renewed mine, by the way. I'll ask you two in a minute, use twos, whether you renewed yours. Mine was cocked up to begin with. When I tried to process my on the first day, instead of adding, subtracting my club cash, it added it. I had to talk to a number of people in the ticket office using my contacts before they solved it 24 hours later. There was also some confusion on small print saying that you only could use 25% of your club cash towards your season ticket. That small print was removed. And of course, 24 hours later, there was a U-turn by the club when they added an option three, which now says that people who are worried about coming back, instead of paying 100% upfront, can pay 30%, but they won't be in the automatic ballot. And I published a few stories saying, look, with the way the club is, this is tantamount to a interest-free loan from supporters, because up to 75% of it's probably going to come back to us. But we are no different to every other club in the Premier League, and nearly everybody's doing the same. You know, everybody's, including Southampton, who've announced, a lot haven't announced, they're asking for money up front. Have you renewed, guys? Nigel?
Your mic's gone funny again. So I think right. You went, have you renewed, guys? Nigel?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I've not renewed yet. I probably will renew, but my work, without wishing to get a violin out, my work has diminished by 60%. It was lower than that, but I've sort of recovered it a bit. And they're only offering me online a 2-year season ticket. So I'm only going to take the 1-year season ticket. To do that, I've got to ring up. And I ain't going to spend 2.5 hours. Yeah, I ain't going to spend a 2-hour wait. So I'll wait till a bit nearer the time till I renew my season ticket. But the longer I wait, it gets a bit funny because the longer I wait, because that's not mine, is it? Because at the end of the day, it's my son's and wife's business and I don't get paid.
Sell more salt beef bagels.
So, bagels. And basically, I'm thinking, we're all thinking, oh, we're going to be in the stadium in October. I think we can kiss that goodbye.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, therefore, you think, well, will I do it? And I've got something from Germany that I want to share with the people about what one German club has said in regard to season tickets, and it does make you wonder, realistically.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that, but let's go to Len, whether he's renewed.
No, I haven't yet. I haven't even spoken to my brother about it.
Are you planning to renew,
this feeling of dread. Well, I wasn't, and then the lockdown made me and my brother change our minds because we realised we've got sad lives and we don't do anything. So we're going to renew. But
without butting in, I think what that highlights is actually that a lot of us go football not for the football.
That's right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
If you don't go football with your brother, I was going to name him. Then I didn't want to name him in case he don't want to be named. But if you didn't go football with your brother, what would you do with him?
Well, we play a bit of golf, but you know, it is about doing something. It's about, you know.
All right. Well, you wouldn't see me, would you? You only ever met me at football.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's a bonus. Some might say.
Anyway,
then I might be able some Bibles.
Yeah, yeah. Free pies.
Yeah.
Bibles, although that YouTube sent I sent you said only EastEnders call them bagels, and you can call them bagels as well. That baker said in that video I sent you.
Didn't watch it.
Well,
mate.
I'm an EastEnder, aren't I?
Yeah. Anyway, last thing, and I'll hand over to Nigel to do his stories. I feel a little bit left out, if I'm honest with you. Everybody in Hammers United has spoke to every different outlet, but not Clarendon Hugh or more than just a podcast. I see, you know, Gonzo and Hammers Chat has been talking to Hammers United. KUMB have been talking to Whistler Sue Watson, and then they were doing a big question time.
Don't get upset because Whistler don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to them.
Why don't they want to? They've got, look, guys, if you're listening,
what's their membership?
Hammers United, you've got an open opportunity to come in here and talk on more than just a podcast in the closed season. Same with Sue and her merry gang over at Whistler. No,
piss off. Ain't happening. No.
It is. Yeah,
no,
why not?
No.
Don't be small-minded.
Not happening. It's not being small-minded, yeah? Let's get this right. I know what they think of me and everything. Not playing that game with them. The way they took control of that was disgraceful. And they dress it up as democracy, and it's a disgrace. And well, and they're not even been elected by membership, yeah? They took control of it through a back door. And got rid of the properly elected chairman. So sorry.
Okay, maybe I'm a bit more forgiving than you. Well, anyway,
they can,
the floor
if
is
they
yours
come
now.
On here, I'll tell you. I'll tell them to their face. Piss off.
Right, Nigel. News stories before we move on to question time.
Get me on frigging Whistler, I'll tell you. I paid lifetime membership. I don't get no email saying that. I didn't, you know, I don't want to hear what they got to say. Two things. Jack Leslie statue, people that may remember that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
look, we covered it. You wrote stories about it. Apparently they got Whistler to back it. You know, glad today got involved, Whistler. Well done, 4 weeks to the party.
The campaign retweeted it and thanked Clarendon Hugh for writing the story. You asked me to write the story.
That's right.
And yeah, you did.
Yeah, so they're approaching the mark, if you can have a look. And why is it important to West Ham? Quickly, Jack Leslie was a player. He played for Barking, was signed by Plymouth Argyle in the 20s, was a fantastic goal scorer for Plymouth when they were in the 1920s. He was so good that he got chose for England. And the story says they got chose for England and it was selected by a committee. The committee then, one of the committee members then goes and watches him play, or he was put on the selected list out of 30 players. And one of them went to see him play. And when the squad was officially announced, his name was cut and another name had been added. And the only thing they could come up with, because he'd been scoring goals for fun, was they actually realised that Jack was of colour. So they didn't pick him for that reason. Why it ties into West Ham is Jack was a Canning Town boy. Grew up in Canning Town. I think his dad was a seaman. His mum come from the area. And when he came back from retired after from football in the 30s, he came back to the area. And then I think when he'd retired from work, he then went to West Ham and offered his services as a boot room, would do anything. And Ron Greenwood remembered Jack as a footballer and said, yeah, we can use you, and put him into work. And he worked for about 15, 16 years, maybe longer, 20 years at West Ham, up until he was about 83, I believe, as the boot boy. He put the boots out and everything else.
I've seen the video that you put up.
I know it's right. So.
And then had a round with Rob Banks.
Well, Rob Banks, you know, well done. You know, put an extra 5 seconds on the end. Well, yeah. So,
hey, don't start.
Well, you know,
this is what gets you an attitude. Why Sam, your wife, says you're grumpy.
No, what gets me the attitude is someone comes along and says, "Look what I've done," and I go, "Well, I did that 2 years ago, mate." Yeah, but I've added 5 seconds on the end. And I was, you won a medal. Well done, mate. That 5 seconds makes all the difference. Fucking prick.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
Then you did catch him exactly right in the portrait. He is pretty much grumpy.
So anyway, Jack is now, they're raising money in Plymouth to have a statue built. And I think it's good that, you know, I think Clyde Best has put in, David Cross has... there's been a lot of support and a lot of love from West Ham fans.
I'll do another story.
Update it because they're nearly, last week was West Ham week, and which we didn't find out till after the podcast. And this week, right. And now I think that they needed 100 grand, and I think they only need like another 10 grand or something.
Oh, excellent. All right.
So that's that. Next up, is Bundesliga update. I know people love the Bundesliga and so I thought I'll continue with Bundesliga update. So I've been in contact with the More Than Just a Podcast Bundesliga reporter. EB. Yeah, I've been in touch with him this week. Well, we're in touch every week. But anyway, so I've got some bits for him. Now, what he's got from me is what Dortmund are going to do. So this is definitive. And the reason why it's good to know is it's possible it will be replicated throughout the Premier League because where the Germans lead, we generally follow. The ground capacity will be between 14.7% to 19.7%. Yeah, so 12,000 to 16,000. The minimum distance sitting in the seat will be 1.5 metres, and that has to be guaranteed in all parts of the stadium. Every second row to be empty, two seats left and right of each occupied seat to be empty. Only single or two seats side by side to be sat in. So no three people in a row, no four people in a row, no two people in front of each other, two and two. They will not have any standing. So the big 20,000 yellow wall, they're going to convert it into seats, but not with scaffolding. Seats mostly used will be provided in the lower tiers because the upper tiers are too narrow to guarantee social distancing. They want you to arrive best by car. 10,000 parking facilities will be provided or by foot from the city centre, not public transport. Hey, one of the best sellers of our stadium.
Yeah,
there you go.
Our seats are wider apart, and there are 66,000 of them.
To keep distance, every second turnstile would be closed. So basically, only 50% of turnstiles would be opened. Seats are assigned to one binding entrance turnstile. I know West Ham do that with us, turnstile C, but you would be allocated a turnstile entrance and you would only be able to use that's shown on the ticket.
Well, that's what's supposed to happen now.
Time slots to enter the stadium, and it will be binding as well in a rhythm of 15 minutes. So if kickoff is 5:30, time slot starts at 4 o'clock, at 2 o'clock, the latest. So, and you would have to stick to your time slot. After match, the early time slots leave first. Each row is led individually to exit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
I have to write this for clarity. Yeah? You're going to have to send me this.
Tickets won't be personalised, but every ticket buyer will be registered with name, address and email for each seat. And you will lose your season ticket for good in case your friend is a ticket tag, he said. Right. Face masks must be worn everywhere, including the toilets. But you can take it off when you're sat in your seat.
Fair enough.
Big one. Season tickets will remain dormant until business is back to normal. The managing director of Dortmund said, "We won't collect money for something we can't deliver." Yeah? That is a direct quote.
Yeah.
The procedure for ticket sales is currently in discussions with Dortmund's own fan council fan clubs and other fan representatives in order to enable a fair allocation of tickets. It will announce results soon. And the Deutsche Football League requirements to be decided next week. No away fans, no standing, no alcohol, and harmonised data collection of ticket holders.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalised plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dystopia. You want to go? This is what I mean.
Yeah. I think the London Stadium is
Sean, please.
Is better suited than most other grounds.
Oh, Sean, do you know what? I would say to you, and this is what's bothering me, with this pandemic thing and all these tests and everything you've got to go through, the last place I would want to go is there. Piss up in a brewery. Literally. I can't think of anything less appealing than that place. Imagine the queues to get in. Imagine the queues to get out. It's going to be a nightmare.
He's right. Yeah, if you think,
you know, I will sacrifice everything to go and watch the club I love.
At the bowling, and, there was various ways of dispersing the crowd.
You're a cartoon.
There, you've got five bridges. That's your lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, look across one of them bridges.
I'm sceptical whether fans will be allowed back in. I don't think we're going to just follow the Bundesliga on this one. I think the government have produced a paper which I've read. There seems to be more argument about ID and stuff that because we have to carry photo ID. I don't know if you've seen. I mean, I wrote a story about it last week because it's in the government white paper and the regulations about this three phase assessment. I know it was a subject for Wisser and Hammers United with on KUMB's question time. So I don't think we're going to follow the Bundesliga model, Nigel, but I will use that content and pass it off of my own on Clarence Hugh. Thank you.
Well, I expect you to credit the more than just a podcast, Bundesliga reporter.
Yeah, of course I will. I will. As long as it's not you. Yeah, definitely.
Not me. I don't want credit. I'm just a messenger, Sean. Happy to...
Talking about seating, and you were talking about seating, I've just sent you twos a picture of the new seating that's being stored in Pudding Mill Lane. Did you get that little video?
No, you sent us the wrong one.
Oh, have I? What have I sent you?
Hang on a minute. It looked like it.
You sent us a video of new seating in a car park, Sean.
Oh, it is a new seating. I thought it was concrete.
It's
I do
a new seating for Trevor Brooking Lower and Bobby Moore Lower. That he's sitting
five
in
days
the...
In. You've got 5 days to get that in, mate.
Yeah, I know. It's. Do you think that's the new seating or is it the old seating that's come out? I couldn't work out which it is.
Well, they use that as storage for...
I know, but they're not converting it this year. So the only reason... seating can be in this area because they didn't convert it for athletics or music or anything else is...
Yeah, but what they've not explained is actually, is, and this is the thing, is that the seating that was behind the goal was curved because it was two parts of the curved seating from behind. Yeah. So they were taken down and rebuilt in front of the middle. So the middle seats were actually still in place further back. Now, have they had to take down all that seating, put it back in its place and build new in front? Is that what they've done?
No, they're taking it away, I think. Taking away and getting rid of that old stuff, and this is a new, lightweight material.
And what about in athletics mode? Will that then still be curved, or will it be straight?
No, straight.
So it'll be straight. They just move that straight seating backwards and forwards.
Correct. Well, that's how the savings come. So
don't work for athletics, does it?
Well, they don't care about athletics because the only athletics, they haven't got an Athletics World Cup. They haven't got Olympics. This is, no disrespect to UK athletics people, but this is the, you know, small little...
Diamond League here? What's that Diamond
League? Yeah, Diamond League. The Diamond League. It's the anniversary games. It's the anniversary games.
And is that Diamond League then? Isn't
it is Diamond League, yeah.
It falls into that, yeah.
Oh, well, I never knew that.
It's a bit like Grand Prix.
Yeah, it is mad when you think about it that actually...
So I don't know if you know in the past.
So crap.
But last year... they didn't move the seats. What they did was, well, they did move the north and south. So what their plan is at the moment, it's very clever. They moved the north and the south, right? And that's where the biggest amount of cost. It cost them 3.9 million. Sorry, before baseball, it cost 6 million last year. The year before that, it cost them 3.9 million without baseball. And that was moving the south and the north seats back. They didn't touch the west or the east stands. All they do is take the seven rows off, and the seven rows come off in the north, east and the west because they were designed for baseball. So it allows them to just remove those two rows, seven rows each side, move the south and north back. So going forward, they can take those seven rows off for athletics to reveal the track. Tells you how many are on the track, seven rows, and then move the new lightweight stands on the north and south backwards and forwards. That's going to save them £1 million a year. So instead of costing, the seat moves were costing 3.9, they cost 2.9 million, and over 5 years it will pay for themselves for the £5 million it costs to put the new seats in. There you go.
All right.
Can't wait. Any other news stories from you?
One other thing. Episode 3 was released at 7 o'clock tonight, of Brief History of West Ham, and I forgot all about
it. You
could have
told us.
Well, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, I never... You sent me the preview, and I never looked at it.
Yeah, I know. Look, I sent it to both of you.
I was away, though, to be fair.
You sent me a preview?
Sent it to you last night. What do you mean? What I normally do, I email, like, what we transfer.
I haven't got it, Nigel.
Look in your junk box. It's probably gone in there. A lot of, for some reason, when people send me transfer stuff, the email telling me it's been sent to me goes in the junk box.
And I've got Ukrainian like-minded singles. That's in now.
No, that's Yarmolenko.
Premium CBD gummy.
No.
Orange United have gone into there. I thought I hadn't heard them for a long while.
All right. So episode 3, the first game went live at 7 o'clock tonight. It's had 30 views already, which I'm quite pleased about since I've not tweeted it or put it on Facebook. I forgot all about it. So, which it covers the first game, and it also looks at something you wrote about, Sean, which is why are West Ham playing Claret and Blue? And I did use one of your articles, to be fair.
Oh, did you?
So why do West Ham playing Claret and Blue? Remind us.
Well, the story I have been told that I wrote about in the past is the old story about Aston Villa losing a bet at a fight.
That's right. No, not at a fight. So it was at a fair.
At a flare ground.
And a race. And you said, and Charlie Dove's dad, Bill, basically won the race. And I found this on three different websites, this story, including an Aston Villa website. Yeah. The only problem with that is that when I was looking into Charlie Dubb's thing, his dad was called George.
I knew you were going to rubbish it.
So I didn't actually rubbish it. I said the story could have, you know, could have, it's one of these things that's been passed down at legend. It could have merit. But at the end of the day, everybody says that Bill Dove won this race and he took the kits in payment. But also the strange thing about it is that what did they do with those kits for 4 years? Because he won the race in 1899, apparently, and we didn't wear it till 1903. But yeah. Not only that is, his son, Charlie Dove, left West Ham in 1901 to join Millwall.
Nigel, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
No. So I did take a screenshot of your story, though, and use it in... But I did put, like, thank yous up to everybody at the end. So, like, a good boy.
Good. One last question for you before we move on to question time.
Yes.
And it might be an unfair question. Obviously, a week's gone by since, well, a week and a bit since the consultation meeting with Hammers United and WISA. And obviously, they've spent the last week coming out doing the media circuit, apart from here, saying how they were set up and it wasn't fair and they asked for this and taking credit for option three. You may not have seen it all, and I haven't seen the 2.5 hour question time from KUMB, but I will watch it, or Sue Watson's bit. What's your view 1 week on the consultation meeting? Because you were quite strong last week that they'd let their members down.
I don't think, see, now you're putting words in my mouth.
I am putting words in your mouth because I'm trying to be controversial.
Yeah, I know you are, and you know I'm going to come back at you and say, I don't think I said they let their members down. But what I will stand by, and perhaps whether they want to come, and I hope they do come, and I hope Hammers United, they're more than welcome, but I will put this to them and say, is that you fiercely campaigned and said you would not go into an OSB meeting, and yet you've gone on to an OSB meeting, be it online or whatever, because for all intents and purposes, that was an OSB meeting. The people were the same that were there. The West Ham people were the same. The groups were the same. There was a few people missing. That's the difference. That's the only difference. You've now took part. So group, are it? You going to, you know, and as a fan rep thing, this is the thing. But the problem is with mixed messages. If you're a fan representation, then you need to do that. So that's right. But you can't be a fan representation and a protest group. You can't be both. And they're and the ultimate aim of them is GSB out. How do they ever fit? And this is the thing where it's quite strange. I think it's fucked up from the whole situation because even the club, you know, I find it strange the way the club.
All right. Well, Hammers United, you've got an open invitation to come on, explain yourself.
Actually, Paul, ask Jay am I right? What's Jay's? Has he got a take on it? I don't know. Is the thing. Am I barking mad or?
Can you refresh my memory on why they didn't want to go? Don't have anything to do with the OSB.
They saw the OSB was a construct of the club.
Well, it is. Quote them. But now they've realised they've been in the same situation. And I haven't seen
their whole, you know, I know they did stuff with Gonzo. I haven't seen that yet on Hammers chat.
Watched it. It was good.
And what was it? You may know more than us then. What was the defence for?
What do you mean? Sorry, the defence. What?
Sorry.
Remember, they didn't defend. They just said. They just gave an explanation about what happened in the meeting that they strongly opposed to what they were going to. They strongly opposed to what they eventually did, and they made that point. There's lots of other things. You should watch it. It's no point.
See,
in me.
The thing is, I think I need to watch it. I'll watch it because what can I say without upsetting other people? Sometimes these groups they will go to their friends in social media, yeah. Where me personally, I think there's other questions that got to be put out. See, it's easy to turn around and say, we oppose this in the meeting. Now, as we know, there's no minutes to debunk that. So there's no minutes to say what they said, what they didn't say. But when they put their article out, which I said, you know, hands up to them, you know, they were there. They were the first to do it. They get the full credit for doing that. Because we know how West Ham like to play it. You know, we'd rather people didn't know or keep it quiet or blah, blah, blah. But and why I think something was said along those lines is all they said was that we attended a meeting. They never come out and said anything until it had all been announced. And then they're like, oh, hold up a minute. It was a big furore. It's like, well, we were against it. Why didn't you say that on the Thursday night or after the meeting in your article? Wissa turned around and said nothing. All they said was
because they were told
the
not
meeting.
To say anything. That's why everybody was telling it.
So then they played the game then, didn't they?
Let me tell you, they were told what they could say after the meeting. Everybody on the meeting was told what they could say. It was agreed on the meeting what could be said.
So now they've played the game. So, and this is the thing. This is what a fan representation group has to do. But what you then can't turn around and do is, when you don't like it, we're going to protest. Because West Ham will just say, well, you can't come in then. Or will they? Because there's a bit of me now thinks Amers United have played a blinding game here. Because I think the more they get invited in, the more it shows how weak the people running West Ham United are.
Maybe that's the point.
And
I mean, I fail to believe. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I suspect that the people from Hammers United going to this meeting probably privately know that this. That they're going to get bored of this chant and have engagement with the club. And they know, I'm not going to try and say waste of time because I don't want to make that remark, but they know dialogue with the club is futile. But I think they're probably going through the process of showing the people that why it is futile. And then they get down to the meat and potatoes of what they want to do.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the fact that they refused to do that originally. And this is the thing, you know, it's just like, we're not doing that. And then they do it and nobody actually points the finger and says, hold up a minute, you said you wouldn't do that.
You have.
The only problem is highlighted by the West Ham Popular Front since deleted for some reason. But the West Ham Popular Front said, the West Ham Popular Front said, you know, you're really quick to vilify the people on the original OSB of not having the balls to stand up to the club, etc. But when they were in the same position, you know, they were the victims. And you're saying, look, none of the people on the OSB, and I know a lot of them because I was on there myself, or yes men or puppets, you know. There was a lot of debate and there was a lot of...
Shot. Do you know what? Irons United come out. Pride of Irons come out and said something very funny. I'm sorry. We know, they get, you know, look at the access that they get. Look at the promotion they get from the club. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And that's what that
doesn't mean
on.
They're not a critical
it's
friend.
It's a tick box exercise with them in their ranking to be that tick box. I'm sorry. That is
nonsense.
That is the way I see it. That is the way I see it.
Let me tell you, and you've been at meetings. You came as an honorary OSB member to the ticket meeting.
Hold up. I sat on the SAB for 5 years, Sean.
Yeah, I know that, but we're talking about the OSB.
Going to the club saying, why is he allowed to say this and why is he allowed to say that?
Right, but when we sat down with Nicola Key, and, you know, there's a lot of contentious issues, did we give her an easy ride or did we just roll over like nodding dogs going, yep, that's fine, Nicola? Or did we actually come with an agenda and actually say to her, this is fan feedback, this is what you think, this is what you're going to do about it? And you yourself sat in there arguing the point, which the club, some of the... It's
that's
conceded.
Right.
So,
yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Say,
yeah. No, I'm not saying they're all nodding dogs, but what I'm saying is, let's take this fan representation as a group, right? And I will point the finger. West Ham United Supporters Club, the official supporters club, yeah? We're all members, yeah? When have we ever had an email asking us what we think? We're going to a meeting and we're doing this. What the hell are they doing there?
Yeah, what no, you've got a good
Andy
point.
Reid went on there, sat there, we got nothing. What are we, as members of that, getting out of it? Because fan representation, I believe, that's why
we're
I
not a political set up.
No, it ain't
really
got to be about. If they're not political, piss off and let someone else do it then.
A bit harsh on Andy. No, and I ain't.
Support. What are they doing? But it don't mean they're exempt from criticism. What are they doing there? If they're not telling their members what's going on, what are they doing? Yeah? Apart from having nibbles. Well, he's not having nibbles because he's at the supply zone. It's a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, what are they doing there? If they're not telling us, if they're not asking us, Amish United, at least go and ask their members. Wissa, I don't know what they do, couldn't care. But they're probably going out to their membership at the end of the day and doing it. So at least they are representing fans. I don't see what Pride of Irons do. I don't see what BAME do. I don't see what the disability group do. They all
support their own but members.
At the end of the day, those three, they all get... you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours relationship with West Ham United. Look at the people involved in the Zoom cameras on the stadium. Where did they came from? Yeah? And don't stand there and tell me it ain't a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Because they've turned around and gone, oh, you and you, can you put people up to be on Zoom? Did they go to Amish United and said, can you put up three people to go on Zoom? Did they go to Whistler and say, did you put up three people? Did they go to West Ham Way podcast and say, can you give us three people to put up? No, they didn't. They went to their tick box club, like fans groups. Tick box, tick box, tick box. There you go. There's your
there you go.
All right, we're an hour and 24 minutes in. Just to recap, there's been no transfers. We haven't sold anyone. Celtic have offered us money, but the player turned it down. We've had a new kit leaked. And there was a consultancy meeting, which everyone's arguing about. There you go.
Good,
done
it
all in 30 seconds.
Really, yeah.
Wouldn't be content, though, would it?
It's got to be time for this.
Facebook, Twitter, question time.
How are you? It's Facebook, Twitter, question time, where you, the eight listeners, get to ask, or is it nine now, get us to ask us, and I say us, I mean Nigel, questions of fact or fiction. Nigel?
No, it is us. So tonight I put, did you really think we'd stop now football has stopped? Of course not. Of course not, dear. Oh, these people, who thought we wouldn't carry on? Generally, end of season is award time. So give us your alternative award category and who you would award it to. Wanted to have a bit of fun.
We should turn some of these, the best ones, into awards and get people to vote. Eight people to vote on awards.
We'll get Len to...
do a Lenny's. I've got eight people to vote in the Lenny's.
Get Lenny's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the funniest thing about it.
They were so good last time.
Eight people fucking voted. How funny was that?
I tell you. The funny thing about it, I hope people now realise that actually, because obviously when you've done the Lenny's, I think people thought it was me, it was you. That's back when people thought you. Yeah. And because of, you know, of course we won two awards and then it was like, oh, you give yourself awards. And actually.
Right. We are going to bring back the best West Ham podcast. Now, we've got a lot of award because we've got, obviously, KUMB has got the modcast now. It's a new one on the block. The modcast.
Oh, was it?
The moderator cast. Yeah.
Paul Weller on it?
Huh?
Paul Weller on it?
No, he's not.
I'm going to guess it's the moderators, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's Pinky on it.
You've obviously got Stop Hammer Time.
Shit Hammer Time.
Don't say that. You've got.
Can I just point out quickly? Sorry.
Yeah.
I do listen to it every time.
you got the West Ham way. Who else is still going? Are the Three Hammers still going?
Yeah, but there's only two of them.
Are they still going though?
Yeah, they are.
And then you've got the Green Street Hammers and
who are they?
You've got little
Orange United. Got, we are West Ham.
Is that a podcast or is it a vodcast? I get confused, right? In my view, it's got to be on iTunes to be a proper podcast. If it's just put on YouTube, it's not a podcast. It has to be on iTunes or, you know, the popular.
Well, we are West Ham, done by The Athletic.
Yeah, we are West Ham. That was the other one I was thinking
and
of.
And to be frank, I don't know if Ross Jane Thomas listens from The Athletic or whatever. So that was dishwater.
who else is... We came fourth last time we held this award, didn't we? Ahead of the BBC.
Yeah, but self-praise is no praise, isn't that right, then?
Exactly. That's right.
What other West Ham podcasts are there we've missed?
I don't know, actually. To be fair, I listen...
Street Hammers, I thought, was one.
The American West Ham podcast.
Are they
which
still
is
going
called
on
something else now. It's something else now, isn't it? I can't remember what it's called.
Anyway, we will have a vote, not just on our medium, for the best. And it wouldn't be funny if we...
You can't do that. It just opens can of
worms. It just upsets people.
Yeah. It's just,
yeah, but that's...
Some people ain't got a sense of humour.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
I wind up
people. Upset people, yeah. It is, Sean. That is what
it's
you
what
do.
It's what I do.
But you don't have
you
to, as I said to you.
Ewines is the Athletic one, by the way. West Ham Way USA podcast. Green Street Hammers
I've
podcast.
I've not heard of that one. What was that? West Ham Way USA?
Yeah. Who does that? West Ham is Why We Drink podcast.
Oh, mate, that's West Ham gash. I'll tell you, you'd need to have a drink to watch that.
I'll tell you something, Sean, at night. Yeah, we're the only podcast with two East Londoners on it.
That is true, mate. That is true.
That's something to say, isn't it?
Actually, that is... Oh, no. What about... Don't Fans TV still do their podcast?
Do you know what? I thought that the other day. I've never done
a
podcast.
I don't think they've done one. When they do it, then,
right.
So we can't really like
anyway,
point to that.
Do any other West Ham podcast give so bigger plugs to all their other competitors?
Probably not, no. But then again, they also don't sit on there and call competitors a gash. But then again, I must know it's gash because I've listened to it. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know. I know lots of people listen to all the different podcasts. I don't have enough time to listen
Neil
to them.
Neil from Down Under, he's bloody everywhere. Good day, Neil, if you're listening. Right. Lewis Ehrentraut, old Happy Chops himself, says, bonjour. I don't know why he's saying goodbye. But thanks for keeping the pod going throughout. Keeps me going on his dog walks. He's got lovely dogs, by the way. Well, he's got box, you know. He's got some lovely looking dogs. He's got an award. Yeah, you ready? I don't know if it's a question or award. Who is the biggest trouser snake in the showers? So he's gone for A. Ogbonna, B. Antonio, C. Diop. Yeah, like this. D. Noble. And then he's put, I had to include a white player so it's not stereotyping.
I ain't answering that one. I've got no interest.
I'd go for Antonio myself, but, you know. What do you reckon, Len?
Whatever floats your boat.
I don't know, mate. No, I'd rather not think about it, to be honest.
No? You're not going to go for a Diopodoplosaurus?
I'll go for Ogbonna then. I mean, he missed out on the player of the year. You've got to give him a big todger, ain't you?
Well, or would that make be Boner? You know, if
Hey.
See, that's why I'm here, people. Paul Noland. It's the chauffeur. Evening, gents. Chauffeur. He goes, beep, beep. It goes, a cheeky little after-season podcast, seasoned with a normal sarcasm. Nice. It's not cheeky because we're just carrying on, mate. We're here every week. A couple of things then. He says, as we know, it's silly season. Regarding transfers, it's a question for Sean. Which ones should we believe and which ones are pie in the sky? Well, I will help you there, Paul Noland. It's basically, is when Sean reports it, it's garbage, pie in the sky. But then when he writes the article the next day that says, no, that weren't true, what we wrote yesterday, then you can believe that. So that just so perhaps what you do is read Carrot and You every other day and just try and pick the day where they rubbish the articles that they
wrote. Do you know what? We also use the Rumorator. We've got a Rumorator, which you've just reminded me to bring a Rumorator. And the Rumorator is from very low, right? Never going to happen. Low, unlikely to happen. Medium, high, and very high. When it's very high, the deal is going to be done. High, you know. So we're bringing that back.
That sounds like the machine they put people with rheumatism on.
Rumorator.
Just like here, Doris. We're just putting you on the Rumorator. Question for Nigel. It's Paul Noland, by the way. Do you have any interest in summit facts? No, I don't, frankly.
For what? Any interest in what?
Summer facts, I think he meant, but he spelled summer wrong. He put summit facts.
All right.
Question for George. What are you having for your dinner? Is it salad weather? Really, he's not here.
You ain't going to get any. Just to be clear, John and George ain't going to be around until September.
So I should have highlighted that. John, no questions. He's put, but Len, what's the cost of a drawing? You can answer that, Len, by pointing him in direction
www.canningtownlin.com. It's all on there, all you need to know. It's too long-winded answer.
And if you mention more than just a podcast, we'll add on an extra fiver. You get to pay more if you're
I'll tell you what I'll do.
I'm as a credit in Club Cash.
If you mention more than just a podcast, you can have a copy with Nigel and Sean on it, like David Holtzeek had.
Yeah.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
No.
I'm not sure you should be talking about David Holtzeek.
Family.
Because it's supposed to be a surprise. And I hope so. Yeah, but
his family don't listen. And I'll just point out, you didn't put me in the window of the Bible shop like I asked.
No, I didn't do that. I looked at it and I thought,
thanks for using the same version of me.
And did you not notice when I asked you, I actually took him out of the reply just in case I wouldn't see it, just in case. But anyway.
He
listens to this.
I've seen the picture. I know I'm not in it.
You've seen the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sent it to us,
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it was a gift. Sorry, Dave.
It's a gift for his wife. She don't listen. Yeah, unless she's in the car.
Hang on, Terry. Terry, yeah. Hi, Terry. Happy birthday. That's what you want for your birthday. Which middle-aged New York State woman doesn't want a portrait by an English EastEnder as their present, eh?
So you've just called her middle-aged?
Wasn't she?
You're a right charmer, you, aren't you?
She doesn't listen. You said she doesn't listen.
You don't talk about women's ages, all right? Anyway, we're still on Paul Noland.
God.
Right.
He's put, what are everyone's thoughts re potential lockdown for over 50s? Should he renew his season ticket as he might not be able to attend as being over 50? Which we all are, to be fair. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, as the youngest one here.
I'm just under.
Oh, are you? All right, perhaps I'm not the youngest
one. When you turn 50, Len? The season is really...
Coming up soon.
Years, no.
Sorry, say that again?
I'm 48.
Yeah, I think you did tell me you're 48, actually.
Yeah, I am 48, yeah. Sorry, fellas.
One thing we haven't highlighted as well, apparently, if London goes into lockdown, there'll be no driving into London or anyone coming in past the M25, which would bugger me up because the M25 is 250 yards from my front door, but I'm on the Essex side of it. So
I'm the same, mate.
I may not be able to get to work.
Come on, though. How are they going to patrol that, eh?
Man the barricades.
With cameras.
Mate, if TfL could take a three-lane road built for cars outside Tottenham Court Road and make it one lane, give two lanes for cyclists that no one's used and leave the rest of cars things, and then have an advert where they say every journey matters, I'm sure they'll find a way.
Like Downing Street said today, the threat of lockdown is a nuclear deterrent, right? Ain't going to really happen. It's Armageddon. It's Armageddon for all us if they do a national lockdown.
They wouldn't. They're saying London.
London, infection rates, although they've grown, the problem is still mostly in the north. Have a look, and I've said this before. I've stopped reading the press, like John, right? What I look for, and this is Public Health England, right? look for the infection rates per 100,000 in your local area. That really tells you what's going on in the infection rates. The R number, that's how many people you infect. All that tells you, you know, if you've got a small number of people, if they're infecting five people, you've got an R number of four. But if it's only one person, you know, infecting five people, it's disproportionate. But the number per 100,000 is the key one. And this is the one where the Bundesliga have said, if we get under five per 100,000 infection rates, we can reopen full capacity to London, to stadiums. If we reach 35, we're going to have this restricted model that you've just talked about. So that is a key measure. If you want to get rid of all this project fear.
Well, look, part of the EBS email was saying to me that they're on the rise in Germany, infections. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. But look, honestly, if you want to get rid of all this media hype about London locking down and everything, look at the infection rate per 100,000 in your area and don't listen to what the tabloid media says can happen, because often it's not true. Stick to the facts.
Well, we know your season ticket anyway, because at the end of the day, the club does need that interest-free loan from you.
Well, I've done mine.
So, or
do what Geo's done from Hammer's Chat and change your second name to Whetstone, because then you can be lucky in the ballot every single time and get miraculously win the ballot when the ballot does come around.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a bad idea.
That was amusing. Quickly, we're still on Paul Noland.
We are.
End of season awards he's got. Who's got the best tattoo? Roberto Lanzini, Anderson Antonio or Wilshere? Well, I don't like them neck ones, so it ain't Roberto.
Lanzini.
Yeah, probably.
What's Antonio's and Wilshere's and Anderson's?
I don't know.
I only know Lanzini.
I can't answer the question then, can I?
Well, he's
I'm going to say Lanzini because I saw a picture of him.
I'm going to have to Google their tattoos.
Yeah, have a look and let us know. So basically, Paul Noland finishes finally to me and you, Sean, in particular. Noland was not funny in 1982 when he was 14, and it ain't funny in 2020 when he's 52. There's no D on the end.
Too right. Yeah,
so,
well done.
Thanks for that, Paul Noland.
Noland. Sorry, I apologise to my friends.
Don't apologise
to me. I say friends in the loosest possible way.
Martin Rowe Sports. There's a name for you, people that remember it. Evening all. He says, my award is, who have not given value for money? Anderson, Wiltshire or Lanzini?
Dead eat. All of them.
He's gone for Anderson, to be fair.
I've got to go. You've got to pick one. You can't go all of them. That's a cop out. Right. Anderson.
Because he's the dearest, I'm thinking it's value for money.
Value for money, yeah. It's got to be Anderson.
Question for you all. Will Dear Garner stay and where will you play him? Well, I'll answer quickly. Yes, he will, and on the pitch. Sean?
Yeah.
I think the danger is David Moyes is his own man, and if a bid came in of over 20 million, I think he'd be tempted to sell him and use the money to buy a number of other players. And I know that won't be a popular answer, but I'm just saying as I see it.
I thought he wanted him. I thought he was keen on having him back, no? Or is that one of them lie articles?
That's why he wants him back, so he can sell him.
Money talks. Money talks.
If you got some money.
Right, okay. Auntie Pen.
Hello, Auntie Pen.
My alternative award would go to you all for keeping this going and us entertained every week. Not sure you might say that this week. I know it's a bit biased because she's my aunt. My real aunt at that, if you're listening still. Not a made up one. But you all do a great job. Well done, she says. Thank you very much. We'd like that one. Thank you very much. Nicholas Harvey, double helping a Brady out this week because he forgot it last week, which we didn't notice, Nick. Brady out, he goes. He said he's delighted to see we've carried on while those overpaid Premier League other podcasters, sorry, players, are having their three-week holidays. So here's his alternative awards. The Gerald Ratner Award for running a football club goes to the Baroness, who manages once again to alienate fans with virtually everything she does. A special congratulations to Rita for winning this award for the 10th consecutive year. No other chief exec can rival Rita for the disdain she shows to her old fans. Excuse me. He then moves on to the chairman's award. And that goes to the man with more secret sources than Ines. It's the one and only Mr. Sean Whetstone for defending the indefensible and publishing exactly what he's been asked to do. There you go. The Donald Trump Award for best use of social media goes to the WHU media team for putting Jack Wilshere in a washing machine.
That was funny.
And the Talk Shite News Award.
I'll tell you a funny story about that. That was actually done months before they released it.
Oh, when he was proper injured.
Oh,
dear. Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah. You've got the big one, the big award, and the Talk Shite News Award goes to Claret and Spew for managing to publish 30 stories a day when there's no real news. You'd have liked me rant earlier then, Nicholas. Keep up the good work, gents.
Let me ask you two a question. Snog, marry or avoid GSP? Where'd you go? Nigel.
God, that's tough. Snog, marry or avoid?
Avoid.
Snog Brady. I'd marry Gold because he's going to go quick.
He ain't going to go long, is
no,
he?
No, that's right. And I would take avoid Sullivan like that. The plague.
Len?
Yeah, I'd marry Goldie. As
for his money?
You said. Yeah, yeah.
We ain't got a lot, Lizzie.
Yeah, I've got to snog Rita and avoid Sullivan altogether.
Okay. All right.
What about you? What have you done?
He'd do all three to Rita. You're joking.
You see, I'd probably go for the money. You see, if you married Sullivan, you've actually got 1.1 billion. If you're just looking at it from a pure gold digging way, right? You know, and
who are you snogging? That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
Well,
what's Sullivan like to snog, Sean?
Young Karen. It's got to be young Karen, isn't it?
He's never snogged. He's only licked.
I think you're missing a trick by not marrying Sullivan. So you know, if you're going to go gold digger money, yeah.
So you're marrying Sullivan. So who are you snogging and who are you avoiding?
Oh, I'm snogging the Baroness.
Oh, right.
Long and passionately, yeah. I imagine. Fucking hell.
Oh, dear. Yeah,
very good.
Moving on.
All right, my handsome, how you's doing? He said he nearly filled up my milk store with excitement when I saw your message you were doing a special. It ain't a special. It's the first week it's carried on, mate. Proper
answer. This is a transfer special.
Yeah, all right. Next week will be.
Bring the punters in. We might get 9 or 10 this week.
There we go. Proper Ansom's my beauties. Award categories for your delight. Award one you decide. Who gets the award for mentioning food the most on this season's podcast and therefore the winner of You Fat Bastard? Nigel the Pie Man, Sean the Judith Chalmers of the podcast, or George the Dinner Fanatic?
It's got to be George, isn't it?
Well, who mentions? Well, I think it's you, actually, that mentions you, food Sean. More, Sean.
Yeah,
do I?
Yeah, because...
You remember that fish podcast we had?
Oh, yeah, we did. In lockdown, we were talking about barbecuing fish. I do remember now.
There you go.
So there you go.
And I tell you what, I've just been to Hailing Island for the weekend, and I had an amazing cassoulet.
Did you call it?
What? Hailing Island? have you had a cassoulet?
What?
It's a stew, a bean stew, isn't it?
It's not just a bean stew. It comes from Toulouse in France, and it is it's beef, lamb, pork, and sausage with harrogate beans in a lovely stew.
Harrogate beans? Are they come from Yorkshire?
And duck. Oh, and duck. Yeah.
Are they beans from Yorkshire?
And look, I know a lot of French people. I often go to Toulouse and where this dish was founded and had it from really top restaurants. But this place in Hailing Island, it's called the Langtown Keys Resort Hotel.
Sounds Chinese. Why are you saying
I had the best cassoulet I've ever tasted. So, and they do an amazing mushroom Wellington as well, by the way, just in case you're there. And the mussels as a starter are to die for. There you go. You're wrong. So I don't talk about food at all.
In a year.
Sorry?
You win the award. Yeah, you win the award. Do you know what?
That just summed up how poncy you are as well, mate. Yeah. All that food.
What did you wash it down with? Sean?
Chateau Neuf du Pape.
I like that. I don't know what I'm looking in.
A little bit of claret.
Dear. Not bad.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I don't talk about
breakfast
food.
In spoons is £2 at the moment, people. Fill your boots.
Eat out.
Do you know, I went in Spoons the other night, first time back up, oh, what a delight, with my uncle. Right, all draft beer was off. The gas had gone. And he had a bottle of Moretti, large bottle. I had a bottle of Magners, £3.50. Some pubs charged me £5.50 or £6 for a bottle of Magners alone. People knock Spoons. Come on, people.
Reassuringly expensive, though.
Yeah, well, you say that.
The problem with price sometimes is it allows sort of the riffraff in. And if you
mate,
want,
have you not been to Witherspoons? What do you expect? When you say riffraff, what is it? Because we sit there and drink lager with our feet up and burp and fart at times. Is that a problem?
I just, you know, you get a lot of the sort of... No, I won't say.
Yeah. Beam me up, Snotty.
Michelin star restaurants just don't have that problem.
Yeah. The only Michelin stars I'll go, mate, are tyres. That's it. Right, anyway.
By the way, if you last thing on food, if you're in Hayling Island, the other place I recommend is the Olive Leaf. A really nice chap I met from Southsea there who runs the pub. He's only just taken over the pub. He's already £18,000 in debt because of the lockdown. He's trying to make a living. Go and visit him. They do the meanest burger you will ever taste.
Is he a West Ham
fan? No.
Oh, I'd forget him then. Stuff him, mate.
Hang on a minute. He's trying to make a living. Olive Tree, right on the
front. He might be a Millwall fan, for we know.
Just by Eastcote, I think it's Eastcote Corner on the beach. They do the best burgers in Hayling Island. There you go. Little recommendation.
And by the looks of Sean, he's tried all the burgers on Hayling Island.
And a few weeks' time, I'm off to Isle of Wight, so I'll give a food review from the Isle of Wight. Any Isle of Wight hammers, let me know, and we can meet up.
I had a great week. Can you go to Black Gang Chime with me just to let me know if it's still there?
It is still there. Last time I was there, but I will go to Black Gang Chime.
I want to know this because I want to know if I need to go back. Because I love that.
I'm staying in Ventnor in a couple of weeks.
Oh, Ventnor, very nice. Yeah, we were shankling people. But Len, this is for you, yeah?
Right.
Who was flip-flop most of the season? Nigel the flip or Sean the flop?
Oh, Sean flips and he flops.
No, it wasn't. It was DJ Russi.
Well, because he had a flip-flop on.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was me. Definitely flip-flop.
Well, I'll let you guess this Sean one as well, Len. So he goes, which accents gets the best award for most accuracy from Nigel? Greek, German, Welsh, Indian, or Somerset? Somerset.
Somerset, I like your Somerset.
I do that well. Not like that, I don't, do I?
Hello. But not Belinda.
Well, we'll get to her later. And finally, the most controversial, said, who's been the most disloyal podcast member this year? Nigel, I will go any podcast YouTube event if asked. George, is it time for dinner yet? Because I've been here for 5 minutes. John, how long have we got to go on this podcast? Because I've been here for 10 minutes. Or Sean, is that TalkSport? Yes, of course, I'll come on and talk about West Ham.
Well, it's a tough one, this one, isn't it?
Disloyal. I'll just point out, I virtually appeared on every podcast this season.
You are a slag.
And I have appeared on everyone. I don't think I've missed one this season.
I am faithful only to you.
Yeah, that is actually...
Yeah, no one else
is
me on. Actually, that's not...
You'll be inundated now.
I think it's...
Actually, when you went through it in
But it's
podcast,
got to be George. George has lost the love this season. On the podcast. It's his podcast. He founded it, but he's lost the love.
Where is the love?
Sorry, George. You won't be listening, so I don't know why I'm saying sorry.
And he's given a special longevity award, Dodsy, by the way. And he's given that to Maid Marian for his persistence in the £1 booking fee saga. Oh,
bloody hell. It's £1.50 booking fee, actually.
Yeah. That's what he said.
I might start a GoFundMe page.
For Dodsy.
Should we start a GoFundMe page for
the Maid Marian? Yeah. Well, the Welsh get their way and go it alone. Who knows what the rate of exchange will be? What's the Welsh currency?
GoFundMe page for you to for your season ticket renewal as well.
Thank you very much. Next up, it's our favourite geek, Greek goddess, I should say, Belinda.
Hello, my name is Belinda Kaikitis, and I'm not really Greek.
See, it says, hello, Metipips, she says. I'm not really Greek. My alternative words are for the best and most offensive accent. A Welsh, a Greek, a West Country, a posh lady, Indian or Caribbean, most sweary presenter, Sean or Nigel. The special Bobby Moore Endurance Award to the 8 listeners who managed to get through the infamous 3-hour show intact. She's got a question for the week. Who are we selling this week apart from Rice? We've covered that, Bill. But she loves the show. 4 kisses, 2 for me and 1 each for you.
Hello, my name is Belinda Kaikitis and I'm not really Greek.
See, that's the way she says, hello. See, it just tricks off the tongue.
Anyway, moving on. We've got to 1 hour 53. Have we done that on the end of the season? Oh,
mainly you, really, Sean. It's only you.
Ed Hughes loves a bit of squirrel. Evening, which club do you want to see come up from the playoff and why?
Brentford.
I want Brentford.
Fulham.
Because I've done a portrait for 3 Brentford fans and they were.
I like the bees.
All right. I thought you liked a bit of cottaging. No?
No, I went for Brentford. So if it's Fulham, that's you. You're the cottaging, isn't it?
Is
that right?
Yes, well done. We keep hearing, you're a football expert, Sean. We keep hearing that players are going to be sold.
Oh, funny you should say I'm a football expert. That's why 442 magazine have asked me to do the West Ham preview. God help them. The printed magazine. Go and get 442.
Oh, get it.
Special West Ham, special preseason. Yeah, you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
I'll send you a preview.
Do that. Make sure they put a good picture of you. See if they'll put your can in town. You could double up. Use your Lennon thing. Don't forget to buy you.
Oh, they didn't have room for pictures, so I got a bio and I've got a mention.
Well, if you'd lost a bit of weight, they might have found room for your son, but still. Yes. As for the alternative end of season awards, the Kick the Cat award for the match wound you up the most, he says his was throwing it away against a terrible Arsenal side at only December.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I concur. The worst Arsenal side I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And we managed to lose 3-1 to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, the Pellegrini rose tinted glasses award for the player that the manager refused to drop despite a terrible run of form, Lanzini. You said Roberto would want it, but he's doing outfield players only.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next
I've
up.
Never been a fan.
We've got the Colonel still in his dapper dicky bow and tie.
Hello. Saunders.
Yes. Sorry. I thought people would know that if I call him the Colonel. He's down to that now. Hello, always says, I have to start the rant this week. Seriously, what's happening with season ticket renewal this year? How on earth can the club really justify even asking fans to pay for a full season on top of moving loads of us in the Bobby Moore lower and messing up groups we'd formed when we moved from Upton Park? He used to have a nice aisle seat, row 14, 497, and now he's in the middle 4 rows back. GSBAT! He says, thanks for all the great podcasts we've done this season. You're welcome. Cheers, Colonel. I mean, admit it, Sean. That is a typical cock-up, isn't it, of West Ham?
The software has had a malfunction.
And always something else.
We worry about going to the stadium in lockdown because we know they're going to fuck that up as well.
They screw out everything.
The software has let them down.
Square pegs in round holes. Here you go. Oh, boys. Well, well, well. We didn't expect this particularly, but Sean has been on a jolly. So here goes.
What do you mean, been on a jolly?
Well, he obviously read your Facebook.
You went.
I was in Alien Island here. Yeah.
Alien.
You know, like Alien the Cab. So here goes, boys. Question for George. Will you be taking advantage of the government 50% of dinner voucher? No one. Question for John Boyle. What do you think of the rumours? The Villa have 100 million to spend and we have the odd 50p. Question for Nigel. Nick Cave. Yes, I know. I say big yes. I do like Nick Cave, yes. To be fair, I couldn't really work out how good he was. And I must admit, I do really enjoy the one. It was the one he did with Kylie that I really got into. And then some of his other stuff that you listen to. And the only thing I was disappointed in is, which is a fantastic song, is when they used like the Red Hand for Peaky Blinders, it made it such a popular song where it was a great song on its own and people should have known it before then, for me. Question for Sean Boyle. How much interest do you believe the club will make on us loaning them money? Oh, Boyle, we pay all fully for our season tickets up front. And where's my 200 quid?
So, loaning what money? Just to be clear, I think some people have got confused.
You told him it was an interest-free loan.
It is an interest-free loan.
Right, so did loaning
them money. Where's the confusion? You told them.
So at the moment, it's an interest-free loan on...
How much interest are they going to get?
To the club, Mike.
Who?
The club.
Right, let's just clear this up. Trip Smith at the moment has loaned money to club. He's a shareholder. He's charged no interest.
Stop. Listen to me, yeah? We're giving them 20-odd million quid. Free of interest.
23 and a half million.
Right? They will bank it and keep it. Not use it, and will be earning interest on it. They are earning.
No, they won't. No. That money will go straight out the door. I mean, we won't use it to pay Allaire's instalment and Thomas Suchet's instalment.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. I'd like to quote Mr. Gold. And he said that when money is moved from somewhere, it stops accruing interest, so the interest has to be paid. That was his cock and bull story about paying the interest. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Let's get this right. They'll be using some of the Sky money to pay for Suchet and pay for this and pay for that. Our money will be put in a bank account and they'll back for emergencies. And while it's sitting in that bank account, it will be earning interest.
Right. So feel free to buy my understanding is. My understanding is that the cash flow, remember, the way we would budget, and you can't argue this, the way we would usually budget is the club get £23.5 million from season ticket sales about this time of year, right? A bit more from corporate entertainment, but that most corporate hospitality, but that mostly comes in as a monthly direct debit. The £23.5 million, if you don't agree with this figure, look at the accounts. It's put down as a debt, £23.5 million, right? That is budgeted for cash flow to pay for things, normal things, this time of year. There's a great big hole where that money used to be. It is disingenuous to believe it's going to be put in a bank account and earn interest. I'm sorry, Nigel, but that's poppycock.
What's it going to be spent on then?
Whatever usually we spend it, wages.
Which is what?
Wages, instalments. A lot of the instalments, by the way,
will be going through this.
The Allaire issue was all about often installments are paid at the end of seasons or the beginning of seasons. In the case of Allaire, our two payments are 5.4 million quid. One was due at the end of the season, which was why there was a dispute between May and July. Another one was due at the beginning of the season, why there's a dispute between August and September. Don't be in doubt. We got less Sky money this year. We finished 16th. We got about 112 million, right? Less than the 121 million we received the year before. So we're 10 million down on that. We're 10 million down on ticket sales. Do you know what? It's not rocket science. The money, those losses, the 20 million we've lost between just those two things on their own, have to come from somewhere, right?
No, you don't. And, you have to go without them.
You've got to, no, you don't. You plug the hole. We've got a £135 million wage bill.
We don't ask the customer for money for a product that we don't have.
Well,
every business has lost dough.
or you borrow money from banks. But guess what? I've been told today the lenders are getting very twitchy about lending money to banks. So, to football clubs. Banks do not want to lend to football clubs. We've already had a problem with that.
Can't blame them.
In the past, we've gone offshore to, what's his name? To Bor. Borrowed money. Do you know how much we pay for that money we borrow on this mousehole Vibrec media rights and funding? We pay 10% interest.
If only we had the rich owner, billionaire.
Would we rather borrow? Well, they've already put 30 million in, Len.
Well, they're going to have to dig a little bit deeper.
Did you know what the price of commercial property is at the moment?
Oh, it's string out, Sean. I've just told you my business is down 50%. I haven't whinged as much as you have on his behalf.
All I'm saying is, right, I don't think, whether they're billionaires, millionaires, whatever, I don't think the owners are going to put any more of their dough in. It's up to you to judge whether that's wrong or right. Many other
we
clubs
won't
have done
collect
exactly
money
the same.
For something we can't deliver. Managing
Southampton,
Bush is
Southampton, Southampton have asked for all the money up front. Other clubs.
What did I say to you earlier? Right?
What?
Be different. You don't have to. West Ham don't have to follow the crowd. They could be the ones to take the lead and say no. More than just a football club. See, now, if you are a football club, yeah, you will do that. Yeah, but they're not. What they are is just another football club.
Yeah.
In fact, another
more from you, and we're just a football club.
Yeah, that's it.
All I'm saying is, to go back to the interest story, right, they've deferred their interest. They're not taking interest during this COVID period, right? They're not getting any paybacks this period. Right, Tripp Smith is not charging any interest on his loan.
I'll tell you what they can do for goodwill. All the money they've took out in interest payments, put that back into the club. Now, we know they've put the 30 million. Put that money back in.
Well, you could argue.
Took it out, because actually, that's money that the club could have
given. You could argue.
Yeah.
The money they've put back in as rights issue, but why? Just to be clear, because some people think, oh, they're going to earn from this. They don't earn any interest. They don't
think. What I'm saying.
Some people don't understand. You could argue the money they've put in a rights issue to own what they already own.
Yes.
Is greater than the interest they've earned.
All shareholders did that, and obviously apart from one, and we all know it's Karen Brady by the amount of shares that weren't done. Sean, I bet you never followed it up, did you? And if you didn't, found out.
I did ask.
Of course it was.
So we know it's Sir Sullivan increased his share price by like 0.5% or, you know, from 50-odd 1% something to 51% something was. And it all sums up that it has to be Karen Brady because she was the only one that didn't have anything and there's no way she was putting money in. But anyway, Golden Sullivan put back the interest they've taken. That will go a long way with a section of the fans that sit on the fence. Yeah?
How much interest are they taking, Sean?
I think it's approximately 16 million.
There you go. Give it back to the club, yeah, because you'll get it back when you sell the club, people. You'll get it back and more when you get your 30 shekels of silver for what you've done. And then, you know, well, I won't say everyone about it because we still won't be.
Anyway.
Stelios Kyriakou, cool jazz Stel, my old mucker. Who gets the Sean Whetstone Award for taking absolutely no notice who's sitting next to you when he got off the plane to find Bobby Zamora was there. Just landed in dear old Blighty, he says, because he's been to Portugal, people. Where the Portuguese seem to be treating COVID with far more seriousness than those that visited the beaches of England last week. I mean, flying back today, he was in an empty airport, but I think it's because they heard there was English people there and they didn't want to get anywhere near him. Little did they know he was Greek. But anyway, it's not a COVID health and safety program. Let's crack on. Do you believe awarding the Hammer of the Year to young, talented Declan was a way for the fans to try and stop him leaving the club? Because we all know that Hammer of the Year should have been Angelo Ogbonna.
Well,
I don't think collectively supporters could arrange to do that.
Perhaps us fans are really racist and we didn't like a Johnny Foreigner coming to take the water.
I can't say stuff like that. More than just a podcast. Apologizes for Japan in no way reflect the point of other podcast presenters or more than just a podcast itself.
So obviously this
is his own. Lawyers should write to Nigel Khan directly, care of Oliver's Pie Mash.
Yeah.
It was you that said dirty Italian, Sean, not Nigel.
That's true, yeah. Us.
Back to
which I apologise.
I think the break made a difference. When you look at it over it, that extended amount of time, when you look at what Declan's done this season,
he deserved it. That goal.
It's hard to say.
Breaking through
it.
To England, playing every minute of every game in every Premier League game. 40 appearances.
Sort of swung it. The fact that he played every minute of every game, that is well done today. He then says Youth Farmer of the Year was Nathan Holland. Is that true? Like, the Youth Farmer of the Year was Nathan
Holland? Just been announced
today. How can you give it to a young player that didn't fucking play for us? Stupid.
Who else could have been the contender?
Well, and Gakia or Johnson.
Well, we can't give it to him.
Well, <I'm
done. laughs> Hang on a minute.
Johnson,
a young
ben
player
Johnson.
Is often given to someone who's gone out on loan, actually.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Reece Oxford won it while he was out on loan, I think. I remember rightly.
Will this award demonstrate that Dave and I know all about young players more is that we may just have talented youngsters or could possibly make the step up to the senior squad? Or is our youth academy dead in the water? Well, I think you're being a bit harsh there still, to be fair. Other awards has gone to Dinner of the Season award with George, who always has his dinner during the podcast. And he also is here. Nigel's going to get a special award by Deliveroo for Food Delivery Person of the Season 2. Well done, that fella. Thanks for that, Russ, if you're listening, for that glorious picture of me walking away from you with me one sock up and me one sock down.
Are you a mason, by the way?
I was just going to say, like some demented mason. No, I'm not.
Are you a mason?
No, I've always refused to join the Masons.
How many times have you been asked to join the Masons?
Well, my mum's a mason and my stepdad's a mason. So quite often.
Sean's a mason.
I'm not a mason. I've been invited, but
you'd
not
be blackballed. But I'd
we're not a secret society. We're a society with secrets.
Yeah.
There you go. Who was that? Larry Grayson. Yeah. Who was that?
That's Nigel's mason accent.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Upset loads of masons.
Only mason I knew was Gary Mason, and he weren't all that of boxing either. Ian Gravett said he stopped watching the Mighty Hammers during the reopening of the season, watched with the Wolves game, we lost, watched the Spuds game, we lost, began watching the Chelsea game, goal disallowed, he said, then they went down the other end, got a penalty and he turned it off, but we won. He didn't watch Newcastle game, we drew, watched Burnley game, we lost, we didn't watch Norwich, we won, he didn't watch Watford, Man U or Villa. Maybe superstition. But do you guys have any pre-match rituals or things that you do before a game? Used to have a pair of Calvin Klingons, he says, which he wore at the games and we always won. Got thrown out just before Newcastle home game and they lost 3-1. Are you superstitious, Jay, Lynn?
No, not really. I don't think I've had a pre-match ritual.
Sure.
Really.
We had some superstitions with John and George and Mark and another George who used to go, and it was superstitions. If you bought a girlfriend or another friend and you won, then you'd invite them back again, like they were a lucky omen. And if you lost, you'd say, no, you're not coming back again. So often people go, yeah, you can come again, because every time you come, we win, or you can't ever come to football again because you're unlucky.
That's the
only sort of superstitions.
Top banks. John Hunt, evening, boys. My question is, if we after hungry championship players, isn't that basically what Norwich had? Surely we have to strike a balance. You are right, John. I have said it before that sometimes you have to be wary. If you keep buying championship players, you just build a team fit for the championship.
Let's just remember, right? Before we slag it all off, Gerard Bowen was a championship
player. Not slagging it off. What we're saying is, if that
Antonio
buy,
was a championship player, right? Crazy. Thomas Souček was a loan. So when people talk about...
I thought he was Czech.
What? Thomas Souček was a loan with an option to buy before people slag off loans, free agents, etc. What's a free agent that worked out for us? Pablo Zabaleta in the beginning, I thought
all
was
agents make us pay, mate.
Huh?
All agents make us pay.
Who else was a free agent? That wasn't Adrian a free agent as well? I don't know. You know, so it's you know, you can have success with. My point is, you can have success with free agents, loan players, and championship players. Let's not tar everyone with the same brush.
Last but not least, it's Nicholas Stanley. He says, I'd give the David Sullivan the Take That Award because whatever he said, whatever he did, he didn't mean it. He just wanted Moyes back for good.
Win. That's what I do.
And thus endeth Facebook, Twitter, Nigel's WhatsApp. Question time.
WhatsApp? You accept WhatsApp now as well?
Well, yeah, I have done in the past. Obviously, Barney's not WhatsApped me today. Few people have not WhatsApped me. Probably thought we were off. So what you don't realise is I put WhatsApp messages. I get WhatsApp messages and other messages.
And how about anything on Twitter this week?
Shall I have a butcher's Twitter?
We're not going to make 3 hours this week, by the way, everybody.
To be fair, I've got to be up to 5.
We're only going
to
make... We have gone 2 hours, which is impressive, on week episode one of... I'll tell you what, while we're waiting for Nigel, just to say, obviously, mostly we're going to be here during the summer. I'll have a week off while I'm in the Isle of Wight, although I might take my mic and my laptop just in case, talk to Isle of Wight if I can get a good... Wi-Fi signal. But if there's anything you want us to cover, right, because transfers are only going to go for so long, you know the routine. Talk to us on Facebook or WhatsApp Nigel or send us messages. If there's things you want us to cover, if there's a Q&A you want us to do, let us know. This is a time to cover it while it's a bit quieter over the summer. And that goes to you two guys as well. Nigel?
Sorry, zoned out.
There's
nothing on Twitter.
All right, fine. Right, anything else? This is your any other business? Any other promotions? Any other projects before we close down for this week? Let's start with you, Len.
No, I can't remember any, to be honest with you.
No update on your film?
Oh, I'll tell you what, yeah. Well, this lockdown thing that's re-emerged, that's put that a little bit back because I can't go to someone and go, I can't go around to someone's house and film them now. So a little bit of a delay. Maybe if any of my portraiteers are listening, maybe I could do a little, this is just off the cuff, by the way, maybe we could do a little pilot episode. As we've been delayed, maybe we can ask Golden Sullivan what you want, and I can animate their portrait. They can ask questions. So, if any of you are out there listening to this, drop me an email. You know where to find me. And if you want me to bring your portrait to life, maybe we'll do that this month. Until I can get out and interview the guy. All right.
Good. Thanks for that, Len. Nigel. Where are you prostituting yourself in the next 7 days?
Probably Iron United, I believe, this week. And I released tonight, episode 3. So I've got to start working on episode 4 now, which is about Sid King, which ain't a surprise because I do say that at the end of episode 3. I thought it was good.
Was he the bloke who...
I'll do the stories, thanks.
Killed himself.
Thank you very much. And don't spoil the end, Sean. I will finish my Mock the Week or Mock the Footballs, whatever. I've got to think of a name for Iron United where you know, obviously you make an appearance, Sean. Arsenal Fan TV does the FA Cup final, 1980.
Excellent. I do like your morning week. I hope everyone takes it in a good light. And just final thing, you two guys, when you're doing your next history, and what's the next subject of the history podcast?
We should have done that
by the end of last week.
Yes.
What are you soliciting yourself, Nigel?
So we need to do that then, realistically. I've got to think. I'm working in Notting Hill this, so that, which means I'm working late. Thursday could be good. I see. One night this week, I'm watching Queen at Wembley from 1986 in my garden, but I'm waiting for the giant screen to turn up.
Why?
Because I'm going to sit in my garden with a projector, but I've ordered one of these proper giant garden screens, I think. So,
what are you watching Queen for?
My son and me watched Bohemian Rhapsody, the film, and he thought it was brilliant, and he really likes Queen at the moment. So, Live Aid was possibly their greatest performance, but that was only 20 minutes long, where if you do the Live at Wembley 1986, it's 1 hour, 40 minutes of Queen, possibly.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So, probably. So we'll get it done either this week or at the weekend. Shall we tell them what we're doing? We know what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, we're going to, in light of the funding situation with the season tickets, as Sean eloquently put it, we're going to discuss the bond scheme. And I think we're going to have different opinions on this, as we felt at the time, Nige. I think.
I don't know. I know how I feel.
I don't know either.
I
can imagine how you felt.
Yeah.
Have you read? I don't know if you've read. You've read the book, because if not, I've got it about English protests. Have you?
Yeah, I've read it. I know what book you're talking about. I've got it.
No, I don't.
Have you got a copy of it?
I do have a copy of it.
I've got an electronic copy if you do want to read it before
I'll
you do the podcast.
Send it to Jagan.
Because it's a very interesting read.
It's a book about fans.
But I'll tell you a funny story as long as you don't tell anyone.
Yeah, go on then.
I sent it to Karen Brady.
All right.
And she replied and said, does it have any sacrificial lambs in it at the end?
Oh, I remember you.
And I said, funny enough, it does actually. And his name's Martin Cairns.
Yes.
Because he fell on his sword, didn't he, in the end?
You could say that.
And in came Terry Brown. But I don't want to spoil your.
I think this is going to be Nigel's moment. This one. No, this is not to be missed, I'm sure.
Yeah, good. All right, anyway, we're coming up for 2 hours 20, which is far long enough for our first episode of season 10. I've been Sean. Nigel has been...
in the dark shed, because he forgot to put his light on.
And Len has been...
in the living room.
Come on, you irons!
More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.